Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Takeaway this morning. I'm John Huckenberry. Celeste Headlee is out for another day. She's got a scratchy voice. We hope to see her tomorrow. A bunch of conversations you're going to want to be a part of, I think. Go to thetakeaway.org or call us at 877-8MY-TAKE. Later on this morning, we're going to talk about whether nationalism is over as a result of what's been going on in the Middle East, the breakdown of nations, the future of nationalism. That'll be one of our conversations. We're also talking about the African diaspora experience as experienced online in a unique new social networking site that is trying to aggregate the stories of African Americans telling the story of both the diaspora and how they've come together, sort of a reunion online. We'll be talking to the founder of that website as well as hearing some great stories. You can be a part of that conversation. But first, we begin with a conversation that you may have heard yesterday if you were tuned into the show late morning. We talked with Mark Landler of the New York Times describing the Pentagon's various scenarios as they park ships off the coast of Libya to try to deal with the unrest that's taking place in there. A no-fly zone, of course, one of the scenarios. But it struck us in the conversation with Mark Landler that many of the options that the Pentagon was considering involved information, both monitoring what's going on inside Libya, as well as creating open channels to deal with dissidents and people who might take power if Colonel Gaddafi actually does fall and manage to relinquish power there in Tripoli. And we're getting reports this morning that a sort of counteroffensive by pro-Gaddafi forces is taking place in certain areas. Joining us now is Matt Armstrong, a lecturer on public diplomacy at the USC Annenberg School of Communication and Journalism. He's publisher of the blog mountainrunner.us on all kinds of issues surrounding public diplomacy and strategic communication. Matt, good morning.
Good morning, John.
Thanks so much for getting up early there on the West Coast. I'm wondering if on the aircraft carriers and the ships parked off the coast of Libya, where you've got sight lines and all sorts of microwave communications possibilities in reaching the civilian population of Libya, if the most active situation rooms don't involve weapons, but maybe involve information channels there on those ships offshore. What do you think?
Well, I think the information channel is definitely the most important. I don't think they're going to be coming from the warships, however. I think they'll be coming from other assets that can be put onto the ground. Ideally, what you'll do is empower the Libyans themselves to communicate.
And
so that they have freedom of information.
And there's a lot of technology that is available right now that would allow Libyan dissidents to reach out and tell their stories. And we've already heard some of them on the air, journalists being part of that. But what other channels are available now that maybe weren't even 10 years ago?
Well, other channels would include cell phones. Last survey data that I saw, over 93 Libyans per 100 had cell phones. Very few you had internet access personally. They used cafes. But if you deliver cell phones, provide perhaps additional cell phone towers that had their own pathways out of the country, you would certainly have additional access.
Matt, can the U.S. military or some sort of international intervention assist in enabling cell phone capabilities so that people can communicate with the outside world regardless of what Gaddafi tries to do?
Certainly, and I don't think it has to be military. One of the easiest ways would just be to provide the cell phones over there on the eastern border, a free area, and allow the Libyans to take the phones inside and allow them to distribute and disseminate so that it is something that's empowering the Libyans rather than some outside force, the United States, the West, what have you.
So forget cluster bombs, use cell phones.
Correct. Yeah, so the idea is freedom of information, empowering the people. So that they can acquire and disseminate accurate information, freedom of speech, ability to organize.
And what about actually opening channels to maybe political groups and assisting them with the possible, I guess we don't want to talk about, overthrowing a government necessarily here, but it seems to me there are things that the international community can do to assist people who might be wanting to be more in control of their own destiny in places like Benghazi, near the border, even in the suburbs around Tripoli.
Certainly, and that's what freedom of information provides, is that you're able to then build these elements of civic society. Now the question is there a legitimate government in place now? Has Gaddafi become an illegitimate government? And that would potentially create additional openings. Also, there's a precedence here on making this information or providing these tools, and that's from something called the Voice Act that was passed by Congress last year, and this was aimed at Iran. and it was $55 million to increase the ability of Iranians to disseminate, to acquire and disseminate accurate and independent information through a variety of means, including internet and cellular means.
So one of the revolutionary implications of what's been going on in the Middle East and North Africa is that we're going to be talking less and less in the future about no-fly zones in areas of unrest like this, and much more about dissemination of cell towers and the creation of Wi-Fi networks, and basically intervening directly in countries to allow civilian populations to speak to the rest of the world.
Right, and that's, to some, that's a potential violation of sovereignty,
right,
which you raised a moment ago. But in this particular case with Libya, is that, again, is Gaddafi a leader, the legitimate leader? But, yeah, the freedom of information is something that is at the heart of Secretary Clinton's internet freedom. She's talking about the internet as just an example, but the freedom of information to access and disseminate, freedom of expression and speech, is certainly going to be and will be and has been the foundation of any free society.
Finally, Matt Armstrong, who's from the USC Annenberg School of Communication and Journalism, what are the possibilities of the U.S. assisting in maybe shutting down the communication channels available to Muammar Gaddafi?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. And there are plenty of opportunities, and they include physically taking out transmitters to jamming the transmitters.
And as a, you know, someone who's sort of suggested that we go lightly on the sort of military side, would you advocate that the U.S. military actively take out, as a matter of tactical, strike communication assets of Muammar Gaddafi?
Well, I think it has to be very surgical. And then the other issue is what happens after the fact. Once he's out, do you need those communication capabilities that you have thus taken out? So I think they'll be very careful on that.
All right. He writes the blog mountainrunner.us on issues surrounding public diplomacy and strategic communication in situations like Libya and the pro-democracy movement in North Africa and the Middle East. Matt Armstrong is a lecturer on public diplomacy at the USC Annenberg School of Communication and Journalism. Matt, thanks so much.
John, thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.